has declared a drought at the beginning of chapter 17. This is significant because Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal is the Canaanite god of storms. And he is often depicted carrying a lightning bolt in his hands. And so by declaring that there shall be no rain, Elijah is outright challenging Baal to a duel. Let me pull to the curb here real quick. I just got started, but let me pull this out for you. If you are a saved, sanctified believer, there are to be some times that you challenge the devil. Tell him, my God is bigger than you. You can't do nothing but fail, enemy. And I dare you to show up. And some of you saying, I ain't doing that because I know the devil will give me. I can feel some of y'all's spirit. That means that you got to increase your faith. I just said it. If you saved and sanctified, then you ought to be able to say some things out loud. Believing that God is going to do it. You ought to be able to say some things to some people and not bite your tongue. You're not trying to hurt feelings, but you're simply speaking the truth. Since Ahab and Jezebel have declared that all of Israel is safe, as a result of their declaration of Baal worship, in other words, they're saying, Israel, you're safe because Baal is going to save you. It puts Ahab in a bad political position. If his official god of rain and storms cannot make rain, then perhaps Ahab himself is not protected by his chosen deity.
All right.
What good is a god of rain that cannot make rain? Some of y'all believe some things that ain't producing no results. Why you believe in it? Amen. It's putting you in a bad position with other folk. Amen. Because folk are judging whether or not you actually say who you say you are.
That's right.
Amen. And so what happens here is that when we pick up the story in chapter 18, the drought, we find out that the drought has been going on for 3 years. And the people of Israel are becoming desperate. And as a direct consequence of that, Ahab and Jezebel are becoming desperate. Now, when we say desperate, do you understand what desperate is? Desperate is mean you do anything to get a result because you've been worried about it for so long. Desperate is you'll do whatever you have to do to get whatever it is you need because you're worried about going without. Amen. You're desperate enough to do what it is, whatever it is you need to do to produce a result. And so the Bible speaks of Jezebel killing off the prophets of God. Why? Because she's desperate. Amen. There are some people trying to kill you because they're desperate for a result. Amen. But you ain't here to die. You here to challenge them. You here to let them know that the God that I serve cannot never fail. And he protects me on my front and my back, my left and my right. And whatever it is you say against me bounces off me. Why? Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I'm able to withstand the wiles of the enemy, even though he tried to pronounce death over my life. Now notice where God tells Elijah to go. I had to study this. Tells him to go east of the Jordan. Right into the heart of Baal country. Wait a minute. He tells him to go from Israel into the heart of Baal country. The place where God provides. Now let me pull to the curb here again. He tells him to go to a foreign country that's filled with a foreign god, and he protects his own in a foreign land. Somebody should have got happy on that. There are some of you who have gone to a foreign place, and God has protected you in a foreign place, and he showed up right there in your life in a foreign place where other people are believing protected me. When I had to go into the lion's den, he stood with me. Some of y'all still ain't praising God like you should have. You've been in some situations, some circumstances where you was totally in the enemy's camp, but God showed up. Around in trouble on the front, trouble in the back, trouble on your right, trouble on your left, trouble diagonally, trouble this way. Everywhere you turn around, there's trouble. But somehow, someway, God protects you in a land where ain't no sense of trying to worship God is. But you're there. You know how to worship God. So what does he do? He protects you. Wow. You're there. Do I have anybody that can witness and testify that I was somewhere I shouldn't be, but God. I was somewhere where I should have been dead, but God. I was somewhere where I should have lost my mind, but God. I was somewhere where I should have went crazy, but God. I should have, my heart should have been broken, but God. I should have lost everything. But God, we don't hear. God sends him into Baal country. That ought to let you know that my God is bigger than Baal. And so his first stop is at Cherith. Cherith has an oasis stream. And at Cherith, he is fed by some ravens. You'll find that in 17 and 5 of the chapter. Now, this is unheard of for a prophet of the Lord. Why? Because ravens are unclean animals.
Amen.
Y'all ain't saying that back to me. In Levites 11 and 15, amen, he eats bread and meat and doesn't know where it comes from. Ooh. But he sends, from Leviticus 7 and 24, he sends the ravens to feed the prophet. In other words, God is so much God. That when you're in a predicament, he will send some stuff to you, and you have no idea where it comes from. And those things that have been deemed unclean will bless you because he has deemed it so. Y'all be sending them back to you. There are some people who are unclean that was sent to bless you. Y'all be sending them back to you. There are some people who was trying to kill you, who have scandalized your name, who have taken advantage of you, who are just purely unclean and unfit. But God has sent him your way to bless you now. You got to say thank you, Lord, because them same people that tried to take you down got to provide for you. Unclean, dirty, messed up, torn up, just now no good whatsoever, have to come around you and bless you.
Yes, he did.
Another thing is, when you're in a bad situation and the Lord sent a blessing your way, stop questioning where the blessing comes from. Some of y'all, wait a minute. Who are you? Where you come from? What's your name? Don't know if I can trust you. You in a situation sometimes when you can't really, you just gotta say, Lord, bless me, and trust that he's gonna bless you. And when he sent it to you, you gotta trust that he sent you somebody that's gonna do right. Not because they want to, but because God has commanded them to. See, that's the difference between us and God. When God tells somebody to do something, whether they want to or not, they gotta comply with the wishes of the Creator to come along and bless you like never before. And so you're gonna have some people come into your life that you don't necessarily expect to bless you, but they're gonna provide a blessing for you, even though they really came to do harm. So Elijah eats this food that's unkosher. And he's eating it outside the promised land. Because that's where God has directed him. How often do we misread the will of God because we are in a place that we know is wrong?
Right.
Let me say that again.
Say that again.
You know you're somewhere you shouldn't be. And you think, we think, we have a tendency, I must have misheard God. He didn't tell me to be here. And God said, wait. You haven't misheard. I sent you to that place for a reason.
All right.
Because where you were, even though you were in a place of your blessing, you had some folk that was trying to kill you.
Yes.
So I got to send you somewhere that you're not necessarily familiar with.
Right.
And you got to stay there until it's time to go. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. And so once the stream dries up, Elijah goes to Zarephath of Sidon. Now let me just pull to the curb. Some of you heard this, some of you may not. The reason he has to dry up the stream, because if he hadn't dried up the stream, Elijah probably wouldn't have never got up because he was running for his life. Now when you're running for your life, you're scared. You don't want to go nowhere. And when you find a place of comfort, you want to stay right there. And you want to just, you want to live off of that. You're good. I'm safe. I'm content. And nothing's going on. And so sometimes God sends you to a place where you should be. And he sends resources for you so that you can survive. And then what he does is he dries up the resources. Because now that you got your strength back, you got to get back out into the fight. And you got to go do some things. You got to still fulfill his will. It's not your will. His will be done. And even though you may not feel like it, you got to get up and go back out there. Get out there. Fight. Minister. Do what you're supposed to do. And bless other folks. Now, you can either move. Or you can stay. Either way, the brook has dried up. So, this is also place he goes to, the place Zarephath, where it is the birthplace of Jezebel. So most likely he is surrounded by people that believe Baal, and he runs into a woman who has been commanded to give him some food, right? I'm just, me and my son, we're going to just this last little bit. We're going to die.
Oh, yes.
What a lot of people don't recognize is that the woman probably was worshiping Baal. Because she was in the land of Baal. So her belief was probably geared towards Baal. Now, for all of you Bible-toting folk, let me help you understand that. Sometimes you ain't got to always throw the Bible at people. Sometimes it's just how you treat them. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. It's just how you treat them. Sometimes you ain't got to quote no scripture. Sometimes you just got to be a friend. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. We would have more people in the building if we stopped throwing the Bible at them and just befriend them and help them understand. And instead of speaking scripture, which they may not comprehend, sometimes we live the scripture and people will come into the building and say, I felt the love in this place because folk know how to love, because the Bible talks about love. And since we're saved and sanctified folk don't always have to quote the Bible. They live the Bible. Y'all ain't saying that back to me. I ain't got to quote every scripture. I'm going to live the scripture. I'm going to be who God has called me to be. And through my testimony, through my conduct, through my language, through my behavior, I'm going to draw people unto him. So he finds a woman that's willing to give up her last meal in order to feed the prophet of God, whom she does not know. See, that's God again. He don't know this woman, but she still blesses him. And so by doing so, she manages to have enough to eat so that the prophet herself, and her son are able to survive the drought. Now here, and watch this. y'all stay with me. And let me go back. It wasn't enough just to survive the day. They were in the middle of a drought. They were in the middle of a famine. And because she befriended this woman, and this woman befriended him, God blessed her to survive the drought. Some of us are just trying to survive the day. You need to prepare to survive the drought. Stop looking just for today. Survive. Look at your name, your neighbor. Survive the drought. And in order to survive the drought, you got to bless other folks.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Yep. That's why when Sister Williams came up here trying to pump and prime y'all to give, somebody said, I can't give. That's why you just surviving for the day. Yeah. Because you're not planning on surviving the drought. See, when you give, see the way I want to give so that, Lord, if I run into a drought, I can survive the drought. See, y'all ain't talking back to me. I just don't want to survive today. I want to be blessed with a whole bunch of dryness in the land. I want to be drenched with water. I want God to rain down on me. I want him to open up a window and pour me out a blessing I don't have room enough to receive. But the only way you can get that blessing is you got to be a blessing to other people. Don't get mad at me because you got nails in your window. Now, you got to understand biblically, I'm teaching. Can I teach for a little bit? Him eating with this woman is an intimate act. A friendship. Not intimate like sexual. Intimate means I'm inviting you into my house. Come in here and eat with me. We're friends. Because biblically, when you did that means you were connected to that person in such a way that they were now your friend. Because you didn't normally invite people into your house. Can I pull it to the curb again? Some of y'all inviting folks to your house. Don't have no business being in your house.
That's right.
All right. Right about that. Let me let it sink in. Some of y'all got some folk in your house that have not been invited. They squatting. You all know what squatting is. Squatting is when they come into your property and you can't get rid of them and they stay there. And after a while they have to stay there. They got right to be there. So you got some people in your house that's squatting on your property.
That's real.
But here's the difference. When she sees the miracle that takes place in her life, she converts from Baal to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so if you want to convince people that God is real, when you pronounce a blessing over their life, you first have to believe that it is. Hallelujah. Stop saying the Lord told you and the Lord ain't said nothing to you. Stop prophesying over people's lives. If he ain't said nothing, don't say nothing. We're always trying to make up some words for people. We're always trying to say something that's going to get people to buy in and what's going on. If God haven't said nothing, say, God haven't told me nothing about you yet. Be honest with it. Then go home and pray on it and see what God say. Y'all looking at me hard. I don't care. Now watch this. The reason I don't care is because I embrace who I am. Today I really do embrace who I am. I'm more of a teacher than I am a hooper. And that's fine with me. Because my goal